What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
And we have a very special episode of the Real Hauntings podcast for you today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this. And we have JoJo Wright on the podcast. You'll remember him from, gosh, I guess it's been almost a year or like...
Has it been a year? Wow.
Maybe like 6 months. Yeah, I don't know. Pandemic time is so screwy. I can never tell how long things have been, but it feels like it's been a little while. But JoJo is on Kiss FM and iHeartRadio, and he also has his own amazing paranormal podcast, Paranormalish, that you all should check out. I know many of you already have. But yeah, JoJo, welcome back to the podcast.
Good to be here. It's funny how you say that. Pandemic time. It is like, it's such a bizarre, like everything is just... Yeah, we were talking before we started recording. We've lived through like a sci-fi movie, you know, like minus the visible zombies, but everything else has kind of been like a zombie sci-fi.
Yeah, the fear is certainly there. I mean, it's also odd how used you can get to things. It's like Kat and JJ and I got to see each other last night for the first time in a long time in like kind of a party atmosphere. And I got to see a lot of people from like my improv past that I haven't seen in a while. And it's like, you just pick right up. Like, it's just like, you know, everybody had this weird, huge break in their life. And it's like, now we're seeing each other again. I mean, it's really bizarre.
And did Kat and JJ, did you guys not see each other because of the pandemic, or they just try to avoid you for a year?
Oh, yeah. A little bit of both. Yeah.
It was weird because I had my kid, and Kat and JJ were like the last, like the first friends of mine to see him, and like the last friends of mine to see him for like almost a year. So crazy. Yeah.
When was your kid born in relation to like when we all went into lockdown?
Wow, it
was
you're like, a bad friend for not remembering.
But again, pandemic time. I don't know what even existed before.
JJ doesn't remember anything about anything. So it would have been it was like right before the pandemic kicked off.
You know what the craziest part is? You get so excited to see people, especially at a party like that when it's all your friends used to see all the time. So the first like 5 minutes, 10 minutes is so fun because you're catching up and you're just excited. And then you're both just like, what's new? You're both like, seeing nothing.
And then you're just kind of hanging out in the corner playing with your friend's dog. And that's my go-to or party strategy.
Or you're like, well, the Braves are in a thing right now. They might win. I don't know.
Parties for me is just, yeah, it's same thing. Like I find myself like alone staring at my phone, trying to look kind of cool, but you know, cause I did a little thing last night and it's so crazy. Cause you get to this, you show up and you put your mask on, but then again, you realize, well, nobody has their mask on. Do I take it? Oh no. And then you're like, all right, well, I'm taking a calculated risk. I'll just do my best. Everybody's vaccinated, whatever. Who knows? But then you realize at the end of the night, after it's all done, like, oh my God, if I don't have COVID now, I don't know. I've definitely got it, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It is kind of wild. Well, so I did see your stories that you posted last night on Instagram. Can you tell our audience about what you did last night?
Yeah, it was crazy. It's funny. Both of us were doing, you know, you guys got together and had a little party, and I was at a party last night, and I text Noah. I'm like, you will never guess where I'm at right now. I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, huge Michael fan. I've got, you know, a couple of Michael Jackson tattoos. I know I'm a nut. Michael Jackson's son, Prince Jackson, he about a year ago during the pandemic, he asked me to be an ambassador for his Heal LA Foundation, which is an extension of Michael Jackson's Heal the World song and foundation. He's doing a local thing for LA, and it might expand later on. Who knows? But we met, you know, via Zoom during the pandemic. And as we were, I'll give you the full backstory. But as we were having this meeting for Heal LA on Zoom, towards the end of it, I said, all right, hey guys, I was talking to him and his partner, John. There is a Heal LA business partner. I said, hey guys, random question, but now that this meeting's done, I just need to have either of you had a paranormal encounter? I that's my thing. I have a podcast called Paranormalist. You know, I went to my little, you know, spiel there. And Prince said, oh yeah, Havenhurst is haunted. And Havenhurst being the family home that the Jacksons grew, or, you know, when they were the Jackson Five, they moved to LA and they bought this home on Havenhurst Avenue in Encino. And they lived there. This is the famous Jackson family home. They refer to it as Havenhurst. So he said he'd had it, Havenhurst is haunted. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get you on the podcast. So fast forward a couple of months, you know, it's 2021. And we set up a date for him to come in to do the podcast, which, you know, as we tape this, he's on my most recent episode. But last night, they have a fundraiser for Heal LA inside the Jackson family home, which nobody lives there now. It's under renovation. I'm not sure who, I don't know who lives there at this point, but they do these events at Havenhurst. And to walk on the grounds of Havenhurst, then a bunch of people are hanging out, and, you know, and Chris Tucker did a comedy set over there, which was just crazy. To walk on the grounds over there and just to realize that Mike, there's a studio there, and I haven't been inside the studio. They keep that studio locked. I don't even know if I should ask to go in there someday, but that's where Michael recorded Off the Wall and Thriller, two little albums that did okay. And I don't know if he recorded every track there, but quite a few. And hey, Jojo, see the staircase right there? There's an outdoor staircase that leads to a room. I said, yeah, that's Michael's room. Like, oh my God, that's Michael Jackson's room right there. And you could picture him like walking outside down the staircase, walking across this little driveway, like 30 feet, going into the studio, because it's right there. And I had to make, they had me host a little segment last night. So I said, I need to make some notes. Where can I go make some notes? So he leads me into Michael Jackson's room. I was like, oh my God. Wow. So casual, no big deal. Now the room it's under renovation, so it's not a whole lot in there at this point. But I stopped into this, like, you know, nice little closet with shelves and whatnot. I'm, you know, the lights weren't on in one room because they're renovating. So I guess they'd taken some of the lights out. But in the room I was in, the closet had lights in there, and I was like making my little notes. And I realized I left some of my, now that we're talking, I left some of my notes in Michael Jackson's room. Oops.
Be there forever. Oh, no.
All right. To sit in that room and to walk around those grounds and Michael Jackson music and Jackson's and Jackson 5 and Janet music playing in the background, it's just surreal.
Yeah.
I mean, for me as anybody, I guess, as a fan of, you know, his music, it's just crazy. And Prince is such a nice dude. And he showed me around. He showed me, they put up some memorabilia from the movie. Well, they had a Neverland, it wasn't very big, but like a Neverland room, a few things from Neverland. They had a few things from just Michael history. Like they had the Michael Jackson Letterman jacket from Thriller in there. You see Michael's signature on it. Wow. They had it behind glass, and they had, I think, a Thriller jacket. I think they had that. They had a couple of things, some of the prosthetics from the short film Ghost that he did. And it's kind of funny that not that this is paranormal. I know you guys want to get to the good paranormal stuff, but he had these prosthetics he had for this short film Ghost. In one scene, he was turned into this old white man, you know, and he kind of a big white looking face, you know. Well, he put that on, I guess, or he after he was, I'm sure as he was shooting it, he said, "Hey, this is what I guess. Let me keep the makeup on. I'm going to call my mom and do dinner. We'll set up some sort of a dinner, you know." And I didn't realize this. And Prince told me that he did dinner with his mom, Prince's grandmother, and Catherine Jackson didn't know that was Michael, because it was his funky, crazy looking, you know, white guy. And it was Michael.
I wonder who she thought he was.
Yeah. I don't know.
Come on in.
I'd be curious the backstory. Like, maybe it was, they set up, like, we have a business meeting with this guy. I'm sure they made up some story, but it was really just, you know, long story short, it was really surreal to walk on those grounds. And they had a party last night, and that's, and everybody was walking around, and just, and I bumped into a lot of, you know, a lot of cool people last night. You know, I met Chris Tucker, you know, just briefly, and Austin Brown, who is another one of my friends, who is Michael's nephew, which is he's Rebe Jackson's son, and Taj, Terrell, and TJ. I think I saw one of them last night, who was Tito's kids. I don't know Tito, but I've met, you know, a couple of those guys, you know, and it was just really neat to walk around. So that's what I was doing last night.
When you're there surrounded by, like, on this amazing property, surrounded by, like, relatives of the amazing Michael Jackson, like, when Thriller comes on or a really fun song, like, how do you act? Are people, like, freaking out, like, dancing? Or do you have to act cool because you're like, oh, no, I can't, like.
No, they have a dance floor out there, and people, there were several people dressed like Michael Jackson. One kid was in the Thriller outfit. Another guy looked like the Victory Tour, which is the military looking, you know, sequin, military blue sequin jacket. Uh-huh. So one guy looked like the This Is It Michael Jackson, a little bit longer, but straighter hair. I mean, there were Michaels all over the place, and everybody was dancing. You know, I say it was packed, but it wasn't packed, but it was pretty packed because they tried to keep it sort of COVID safe. But man, we were all over each other. It was, you know, like I said, I'm sure we've got COVID now, but it was really well done. Super nice. And people were dancing. I mean, everybody was feeling the music. It was hard not to when all that stuff, you know, the old school Jackson stuff comes on, from like old school Enjoy Yourself to the Destiny album, which I'm nerding out now, to of course Off the Wall and Thriller, and just, yeah, it's just, it's all playing. And to have that playing as the backdrop is you're where Michael Jackson grew up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's just crazy. Then you have Chris Tucker up there doing his thing. Like, Chris Tucker, damn.
Yeah.
And he said like, oh my God, this is for Michael and his brothers. Yeah. What do you say? They got their ass beat here every day, you know?
Oh my gosh.
So he went in on that, you know, and the Jackson family loves him, and they just think he's the best, you know? He told stories about how he was hanging with Michael Jackson, and he was with he went to London with Michael and to visit Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees.
Mm.
And he said he was in a room with, I think I heard him tell the story before on some show, but he was in a room and Michael starts singing, how deep is your love, you know, doing his thing. And then Barry starts singing and Chris starts getting into it. And I don't know how true the story is, but Chris kind of starts feeling it. He starts singing too. How deep? And then Michael turned to him and said, Chris, no, Chris.
That's amazing.
So yeah.
I was just thinking, I was like, I think Chris Tucker has a pretty good singing voice, but
he does.
Michael Jackson standards, probably not.
Probably not Michael Jackson, you know, BG standards, but you know, Chris, he did his thing, and he was in the Rock My World video for, if you're a super MJ fan, you know, and Chris did a little thing, you know, from that last night, just kind of having fun. And Chris is hilarious.
That's,
and like
funny.
That's, I refer to him like I've known, you know, Chris. I don't know Chris at all. I mean, I was introducing him on stage, and he comes up and is just as high as we're kind of passing on these little stairs, and that's kind of it. But he was real nice, but nice in that 4 seconds, you know, in those 4 seconds. But
were like hosting, introducing him and everything.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it like a major hosting gig, just, you know, a stage and a mic. And I mean, they did it up real nice. You know, they hired a company to come in and they do it all. You know, it was really well done. But just a little kind of backyard thing. Backyard meaning Jackson family backyard.
Right.
Yeah, it's different than my backyard, but it was really nice.
Well, JoJo, so on our podcast, and Kat kind of started this on the podcast, talking a lot about energy, and we've had guests talk about it as well. When you're at somewhere like that, where, you know, all this, you know, all these big events have taken place, these, you know, huge songs have been cut there and recorded, and it's a place that represents a lot to you, it sounds like, as well. Do you feel a certain energy from just being there? I mean, does it, not necessarily in the supernatural sense, but I mean, did the hairs stand up on your body? Like, how far does that go for you, being a big fan, but then getting to actually walk the walk that Michael Jackson, you know, where it all took place?
It does send the, you know, that makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Even you just bringing that up makes my, that kind of gives me chills now. Yeah. And I don't know, like, when I made a point to, when I was in Michael Jackson's room, more really just the closet. But I try to make a point to just kind of sit there for a second and kind of listen, like, this is the room, and just to kind of soak it up. Now, I don't know if there's anything, I really don't think I was sensing anything paranormal, but when you say energy, you never know if it's paranormal energy or if it's just excitement, you know, and right. I guess that's the trick on learning what the difference is. And I guess I haven't mastered that. I'm trying, but, you certainly feel an energy, and there's an electricity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it wasn't like, you know, you walk in some houses, which I'm sure you guys have done a fair amount of investigations, you know, and you walk in some houses, and here's where I think I've learned the difference. And I don't know if it's in my head or whatever, but you feel a heaviness in some rooms. You walk in, you feel like a heaviness and a darkness. And once again, are you psyching yourself out? I don't know. But this one, you feel like a real, just an excited, and it's a real energy to it. And just knowing what the room is and what this entire place represents. I mean, this house, I mean, this is an extreme example of just positive energy, because this house changed the world. I mean, the music that came out of that house, Thriller, Michael Jackson overall, and Thriller specifically, is still affecting music and pop culture today in some way. We're talking 12, 13 years, whatever it is, after his death, and 30 years after his peak. It's still going. I mean, you can make any little movement, like, ho, or, you know, glove or white socks or any reference to the moonwalk, which is still all over TikTok. And that happened. That was so long ago, but it's still affecting. And to be in the house where, oh, that's no big deal. That's just the studio he recorded through Learn.
That's wild.
God. It does give me chills. I don't know if I was feeling paranormal or just excited or just kind of just, it was, but yes, the hairs on my arms were standing up. And if I didn't shave them because I have tattoos, was it paranormal or was it just excitement? And I don't know, but it was, it was definitely a feeling for sure.
Well, I know since the last time we talked to you, you have been on some, you know, investigating type trips, or, you know, I know you've been to like some homes and, famous haunted places. Have you had anything you would consider an experience since we spoke to you last?
I had something, and maybe you guys can, maybe just kind of, I'll throw it out there and see what this means to you guys. But I decided to, and I haven't posted anything with this yet. And I guess I'd call it a mini investigation. Mm-hmm. But there's a hotel in Hollywood, and Hollywood's full, and LA's full of, like every city is, but Hollywood's full of famous haunts and old hotels with crazy histories. And there's a hotel called the Roosevelt Hotel. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. The Roosevelt Hotel is supposedly haunted with, I mean, the thing in Hollywood, when it comes to the paranormal, every place claims Marilyn Monroe haunts it. Mm. And then every place, you know, and it very well may be true, because I'm sure she frequented a lot of these hotels. So it makes sense, but it does, you know, everywhere you go, like Marilyn Monroe, like, oh God, here she is again.
Yeah.
And another haunt called the Black Dahlia, which you may have heard of the Black Dahlia. Mm-hmm. She's been seen a lot of places too. I'm not sure where her last, you know, like she's been seen at the what's called the Last Bookstore, which is just down from the Cecil Hotel, which I didn't realize that until after I left the bookstore, because it's a really cool bookstore. But I stayed at the Roosevelt, and I did a little research on it. You know, like I'm sure we've all done our research on the Roosevelt, but there's two rooms that I came across that really, I mean, there's several floors they claim to be haunted with the Black Dahlia and everything. But there's two rooms. I want to say it was room 213 was one room that I couldn't get into. I think it's 213. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one. But and that one was booked. But there's a room called room 928. Actually, yeah. Here's my room key right there.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
928. And you I stole the notepad.
nice.
Stole some towels, but I didn't. But room 928. There was there's an actor from way back in the day named Montgomery Clift, Clift, I think. And he was in a movie, which I couldn't tell you anything about Montgomery Clift, but he was in a movie called East of Eden, which was a fairly famous movie. I don't know the movie that well at all, but this was his room, and he stayed in this room. I guess he frequented the room. They call it the Montgomery Clift room. So, all right, give me that room. And I had, a couple of guys from the radio station who, you know, do our video department and our social network department. They came in just so we could kind of document a little bit. And had a buddy of mine who is a psychic named AJ Barrera, who I've had him on the podcast. I had him come up for a little while. Now, I booked the room for the entire night. They weren't staying the whole night, but they came in to do a little piece with me. So we do our little thing. We do our little investigations and whatnot. Well, real quick though, as I'm checking into the hotel, I walk up and I, you know, tell the guy my name and whatnot. And he's tapping on his, you know, his computer, you know, and he looks up and he goes, he said, may I ask why you have, I see you have a certain room you've requested. May I ask why you requested this one room? I said, oh yeah, that's the haunted room. And he said, I just wanted to hear you say it. I'm like, okay. So, you know, get in the room, they come up, we do our thing, you know, can't say we came across anything super bizarre. You know, you have the you know, the SLS cam showing some, you know, little bits and pieces here and there. Nothing too crazy. I really like the SLS cam as a piece of tech. I think that's an interesting, you know.
What is an SLS cam?
The best way I can describe it is, and I use just the app. There's an app version, which I've read up on it. And the app version is the same thing as like the bigger versions, but it just requires, if you have like the expensive ones, which are a little bit more, you know, a little bit more involved. They can do it in low, they can read it, and I'll tell you what it is in a second, but they can read the room in low light or no light. Whereas the app, if you can get it on your phone, it seems so cheesy, but yeah, but the app needs a little bit of light to activate.
But is it the like stick figures?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The stick figure thing. If you have, for example, if you have a PlayStation, you know, or Xbox or whatnot, and say you have a dance game. So the camera, you stand in front of the camera, and the basically the game reads you, and it creates a stick figure, and then the game puts a little cartoon character around you, whatever the figure is, you know, something like that. It turns your figure into it animated, makes you a character.
Like well, a film character.
Yeah, exactly. So the theory with the SLS cam, which is just basically that, if you point that cam to an empty space in the room, wherever you're investigating, and a stick figure pops up or some sort of figure pops up when nobody's there, is it reading something? It's just, you know, a bunch of theories, but I do find it interesting.
Cause you have one in your fan, right? You've got a ghost in your fan.
Yeah. I keep using that thing. My fan, we haven't changed fans yet. I'm sure it's just an electrical short in our house, you know, to be honest with you, but I have some fun with it. But once these guys left, we went downstairs, we had a little food. There's a little restaurant at the bottom of the Roosevelt Hotel. And then, all right, guys, see you later. So I start walking back up. And as I'm walking back up, that's when you start to realize that, oh my God, I'm in this old, haunted, you know, beautiful, but old, haunted, so much history in down these halls and in these walls, hotel. And as you're kind of going up the, you know, in the elevator and walking down the hall, you feel like you're walking into The Shining because it's that kind of old kind of vibe. Yeah. Like, what am I doing? And my wife said, well, you got the hotel the whole night. You might as well stay there. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe she just wanted me out of the house. But I stayed in the room and I kept the lights on for a minute, you know, because you're like, oh, God, this is freaking me out. But finally, all right, I'm going to sleep. And I fell asleep. And here's what I found fascinating. I don't know what it means, but fell asleep. And I wake up. Abrupt two things. I wake up abruptly at 4:44 a.m. And my initial thought was, I'm thinking, am I going to wake up in the 3 o'clock hour, the witching hour? You know, that's what, you know, we've all been, I don't know what that means, but we've all been told about that. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, what the heck, 4:44? So I went back to, went back to sleep. And then I find later I don't know if I put stock into this or not, but those are the angel numbers. Something's watching, you know, someone's watching over you. I mean, I'm sure some of your listeners know way more about that than I do, but those are the angel numbers signifying that somebody's watching over you. You have protection, something along those lines. I go back to bed and I wake up later, like in the morning, but I wake up and it wasn't like a startled dream, but I had this dream and we've heard about visitations in dreams. Mm-hmm. And, I had this dream that I was dreaming like through someone else's eyes, like whoever I was, like I was dreaming, but it wasn't me. I was seeing, you know, someone else's point of view.
Yeah.
And I was lying on someone's lap as if I were sad or crying. Cause if you're lying on someone's lap, you know, you could, and you feel like they're touching your head, like, are you okay? Kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see their knees because you're laying on their lap. You see their knees. And I wish there would have been a mirror in the dream so I can see my face or the person's face, who it was. And then I could compare notes on, I could maybe find out was it Montgomery Clift, the guy who, you know,
right.
And I know I think he died. He had a car accident, but he didn't die I don't think he died in the car accident, but I should do more research on it. We haven't put the podcast episode out yet. So I need to get on that more, but hearing that, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, like was he the one comforting you, or like were you laying in Montgomery Cliff's lap? That would be nice.
creepy, right?
His perspective.
I don't know whose lap I was on. I don't know who I was dreaming through the eyes of. I don't know why I felt like I was somebody else.
Have you ever had a dream before where you had that sensation, or was that you remember? Yeah.
No. And it's funny. I was talking to the AJ Barrera, the psychic, that night, and I was trying to get, you know, in touch with like, how do I become. Because they all, not what he says, that everybody has a bit of psychic ability, but others can just tap into it more, you know, for whatever reason. I guess everybody has that gift in theory. So I would like to learn how to kind of read that more doing these investigations, but at the same time, let's make sure there's an off switch.
Yeah.
Because I see dead people in my house every day.
Sorry, I need to pause real quick. I looked it up and this is a caption of like one of the first things about Montgomery Clift. The word of his heart attack reached Miss Taylor, Elizabeth Taylor, I think they maybe did, who hurried to the accident scene. and wearing a mink coat, cradled Cliff's bleeding head in her lap while awaiting an ambulance.
Shut up.
I am not shitting you.
Wow. The first thing from the Google results.
That's crazy.
That is so nice. That's giving me chills.
Yeah, I want to know if other people have had that same experience in that room.
That is so crazy.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was in a crash. He was a close friend of Elizabeth Taylor. His car struck a power pole while he was going down a steep grade. So this is different from the heart attack. And word reached her. She hurried to the scene, cradled his bleeding head in her lap while they awaited an ambulance. That is so crazy.
Now, he didn't die at the crash scene, right?
I don't think he died at that crash scene.
But so still, that is.
Yeah.
What the heck?
JoJo's mind
is pretty wild.
That's so cool.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I was like, okay, this is just a dream.
It may still be just a dream.
Weird, like, if that's a coincidence, that's a really weird fucking coincidence.
Well, right? I don't know. It was so specific. So I literally just Googled like Montgomery Clift head and lap. I don't know what was gonna come up with that.
Could have been some sort of porn show up and
It's a very like famously known moment when Elizabeth Taylor cradled him.
Hey, look up for a second. I'd be curious what you find. 4:44, because I woke up right at 4:44 and I grabbed my phone right when I woke up.
JoJo, while she's looking that up, have you seen Midnight Mass on Netflix yet?
I just finished it. What a crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. You know?
I liked it a lot, but I was just thinking like the idea of angels, that was a very interesting interpretation of, you know, all of that.
That was no angel. That was for sure. Now, after she gives us what she finds here, I want to ask you more about that, because I love that director. He did Haunting of Hill House and Haunting of Bly Manor. He's got something else coming out soon, but okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What you got? Okay.
Yeah. So 444 is a number of protection and encouragement. It is a sign that you are currently following the right path. So if you see the number repeatedly, it's often said that it's your angel giving you a sign that they are with you. The sign is reminding you to feel confident and supported in this knowledge. Or that, you know, the angels are blessing you with their love and protection. So yeah.
Can't hate that. All right. Yeah. I need to put, a podcast together about my experience there, and I'll bring this up. I haven't done all the research. I guess I'm kind of excited that happened, but I didn't know that backstory. So it wasn't like I was, you know, trying to, that seed wasn't planted in my head. Once again, it still could be a dream. Who knows? But it's still fairly interesting.
Just for fun, I Googled Montgomery Cliff 444, and some woman has a Tumblr called 444, and there's just like a bunch of pictures of Montgomery Cliff. So that's random. But, you know.
There we go.
Think that as you will.
It's all
who sits around? Who sits around and has an Instagram or whatever account of Montgomery Cliff in 2022? One. is the account still active? You say Instagram? Yeah, what was it?
She posted
Tumblr, I think.
She posted Tumblr. She posted the last one in 2020, but still, that's relative.
Still.
Mm-hmm. It's Montgomery Cliff and Elizabeth Taylor. I mean, it's just a Tumblr about them.
I'll be darned. Who knew?
444 right there.
When you have free time.
Yeah.
God, that's crazy. Yeah. All right. So yeah, you guys should, if you're next time you're in LA, Roosevelt Hotel room 928, see what, you know, one of you guys should do, I don't know how you're going to divide it up, but like JJ and Kat do 928 and Noah do, I think it's 213.
Great.
There might be a Marilyn Monroe suite, but I'm like, I don't want to spend $2,000. Yeah, but no. I better see it goes for $2,000 to the Midnight Mass. That, I don't know what I was expecting. But God, that was, did you guys, JJ and Kat, did you guys,
I don't think they've seen it yet, right?
I need to, because we both watched Bly Manor, and I've seen Haunting of Hill House, and Haunting of Hill House is like one of my favorites.
JJ, tell JoJo what you guys did watch recently.
Oh yeah.
Oh God, what?
Incredible.
It's the most amazing movie you'll ever see, even horror or outside of horror.
Yeah.
I mean, just drama. It's called Llamageddon.
What?
It's on Amazon Prime. I'm telling you, if you watch it, your life will be changed. The acting, the
animal wrangling.
I mean, I'm speechless.
I mean, just so much commentary about our current times, and yeah. It was very, very poignant.
That's a smell, I think.
That's pungent.
Oh,
but it was also very pungent. It just like it transported us.
I'm going to assume by the title it's featuring a bunch of llamas. just
one llama, really. It only takes one llama,
really.
Well, and then there are, I guess, the llama. You'll just have to watch it.
Yeah, there's like some backstory, but yeah.
How can you have a get-in with one llama? I feel like it has to be like a Sharknado, like they just gotta be flying out of the sky.
Llama get-in.
Saw it, Noah, you would understand. You would understand.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but
that's on my list. Let me write that down. Llama get-in.
Okay, there's also like some sort of universal international card, maybe for actors back in the time when Montgomery Clift was an actor.
444.
It's card number 444 that he signed. Oh, wow. And I think it's for sale on eBay. So that's another little coin there.
I didn't expect that. I thought the 444 was just like the angel, you know, whatever. But
I don't know. Maybe there's a bunch of different messages for you from Montgomery Clift.
Have you been craving to watch like Elizabeth Taylor movies since you've been home? Or
oddly enough, no. I know. Oh man, we did this investigation a long time, and this is not a scary story. I have better stories if you guys want some good stuff. But way back in the day, we did an investigation. It wasn't mine. I was tagging along with some other people at Rosemary Clooney's house. In I guess Beverly Hills or somewhere, you know, fancy schmance. But we did, Rosemary Clooney's house, and did our thing, and nobody at the radio station knew that I was there. I mean, it wasn't when I did on air. I didn't make reference to it. This was years ago. Switching gears, another story that will make sense in a second. But at the radio station, we have we play music on a system called the Next Gen system, and the programming department, you know, they line up all the music we play, and the traffic department puts in all the commercials. And so it's, you know, everything is set up. And when it comes to music, every song is numbered. And every now and then a song will, like the wrong number will get slotted in, and it'll, oh my God, that's not supposed to be that, supposed to be that. But that happened. I mean, I've been at Kiss, you know, 20 something years. And that has happened a grand total of maybe five times. I mean, it's rare. And most of the times when if the song is mistaken, it's not a song. Like if it's like we play pop music at Kiss, it's the numbers are, it's like if the wrong song is in, it's just another pop song that's slotted in, you know?
Right.
Like the that actually happened the other day, 'cause there was this new song that, she put in the wrong number, but whatever. But so that never really happens. Rarely. I did this Rosemary Clooney investigation on the weekend. Nobody knew I was there. Nobody was playing a prank on me. And this would be like not even a funny prank. I mean, it just wasn't. I'd log into the, you know, I'm on the radio, and I look in the music log, and there's a Rosemary Clooney song in the, and granted, this is not the spooky, crazy story, but keep in mind, you know, I'm playing stuff like, you know, One Direction, Justin Timberlake, I forget what it was at that time, you know, J-Lo. Mm-hmm. Rosemary Clooney's never gonna pop up in this rotation. I mean, and I looked in the log, I'm like, what the heck? And if somebody were to play a prank on me, they wouldn't have known I was there anyway.
And yeah,
what are the chances? And I'm sure the Next Gen system, it's tied to a lot of music, so you can pull up a lot of stuff in there, but I don't think there's an oldies. I don't think there's an oldie station. It wasn't an oldie station in the building at the time. So, I mean, granted, once again, this system serves, I guess, other stations as well. And it does, but once again, there's not a floating ghost or anything crazy, but that should never have been there.
And these stories are cooler to me because
those are the things that make me think, oh, that like not necessarily ghosts, but like, oh, this is a simulation or like we're living in the Matrix.
Right. It's so weird. What are the chances? I couldn't even try the name of the song, but Rosemary, if I'd have played that, I'd have been like, they'd have been like, everybody would have called, alarms would have been going off. Like, what, JoJo, what the heck are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. You put Rosemary Clooney in the log. It was just weird, just crazy.
And JoJo, this is kind of off topic, but on topic.
Did you just switch to a new time on Kiss?
Yeah, I did the night show, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for 20 years. And the last year, a little over a year, I've been doing the afternoon show, which I'm on the air now, live 3 to 7 in LA. So it has opened up, you know, it's a new life for me in a lot of ways. You know, it's pretty for the last 20 years. If you think of any, just watching TV, and granted TV, we have DVR. So I didn't miss anything, but like live sporting events. Hey Jojo, let's go grab a drink and watch the game. Sorry, I'm on the air. Or, you know, hey, we got this show tonight. You want, cause I get invited to a fair amount of little, like, hey, this new artist has a showcase, dude, I'm on the air. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, it's just everybody, you know, for 20 years, I couldn't nothing. Now I just, you know, I can get drunk every night if I want to. So, and that is the plan. Of course, the pandemic kicks in and it's taking a while to ramp that back up, but
yeah.
But for example, the Jackson thing, you know, that we were just talking, I left the show, went over there. So
that's awesome. Well, congratulations. That's got to be a very nice thing, I'm sure, for you and your family too. I'm sure that's a big change.
It is pretty cool. My daughter, she's now 13. So now I'm here when she, you know, goes to, you know, when she's going to bed and whatnot, you know, and just we have a little time there at night. At first I was, you know, I'd be showing up at the house and they'd be like, what are you doing here? Cause they have their little routine. And I'm, you know, my wife, our entire marriage, I'd done the night show. And all of a sudden I'm here and she's like, what the heck? And she's off watching what's the I'm spacing on the title of the TV show, the really sad show with Mandy Moore.
Oh, This Is Us.
This is it. Yeah. This Is Us.
Wait.
This Is It. I keep thinking I'm confusing Michael Jackson's This Is It.
This Is Us.
This is us.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She'd be in there watching. She'd be in there crying, watching this. I'm like, this show is terrible. She's like, you know, I mean, it's great, but it's great. It's amazing, you know, but it's at the same time, I just can't. I'm like, oh God. She goes, just do your own thing. Just go over there. I'm watching my show. So I felt like I was interrupting them for a while.
We'll find another haunted hotel to stay.
She's like, I'm used to having my time for my shows.
Back off.
Well, that's, you know, that's kind of an interesting idea. Cause I mean, you have been surrounded by pop for so long, right? That's been a big part of your life. Do you feel like that has kind of influenced the way your brain works as far as like other media and stuff you take in? Because pop is kind of light and, you know, easy when you watch a show like that. Or, I mean, is your body kind of have a negative reaction to it? Or are you like, no, I want to just go watch something that's a little nicer than
that. Honestly, the pop music, as far as the music we play, I mean, it is what it is. It's just, you know, I guess to answer your question, doesn't affect how I feel. Like when I'm driving home, and I think this would be with any format I worked in, right? No matter what music I was playing, but I listen to it so much and I'm on the air, you know, and we have, you know, a lot of stations, the rotation's pretty high on some of the songs. And that goes for a lot of stations and a lot of formats, you know, or some formats. I don't listen to anything. If I know the name of the song or the title of it, I don't want to hear it when I'm driving home. It's gotta be something just new. Or I go old school and like 80s George Michael Jackson, you know, whatnot, you know, I'm just so immersed in it that, but at the same time, you know, I've done the pop music world so long that, you know, you become, I'll like a song for different reasons. Like, man, that so-and-so is such a nice guy, you know, or whoever. Right. So I've become, you know, if not friends, just, you know, good experiences and good encounters with this person and that person. And it's just, you know, so you kind of have an affection for them just because of how they treated you.
Yeah.
And so it's not just, do I like the song or not, which that comes into it, obviously, but there's so many good people I've come in touch with that are just super cool. So that's probably how my brain is wired when it comes to some of the music and whatnot.
Do you feel like you need like a cleanse on the way home? Do you ever listen to just like really loud piano music or anything?
Megadeth, you know?
Yep, Megadeth. Well, I've listened to do you have the Calm app? Have you ever heard, you know, the Calm app? They had this, or they still have like just crazy, almost like drone sounding, like Moby had a piece on there. Moby put on a, you know, some tracks for the Calm app. It's just sort of drone-ish, kind of just basically just a zone out.
Yeah.
And not that you want to zone out when you're driving down the 5 freeway. not that I don't like what I play, but if you work at McDonald's, you don't want to have a Big Mac when you get home.
Sure.
It's just, you know.
Yeah.
So I need to keep my brain kind of fresh so I don't hate it and want to stab my eyes out. I love the gig. What can I say? And I love the artist I play. You know, most of them have been really cool. If not, I can't recall a bad, you know, encounter. I've had a few, but it's been a while. But nobody major you'd even know.
Well, that's what I was going to. I mean, one of the cool things about your job is that you do get to do interviews. You know, it's not just playing music. So did you enjoy kind of the transition? I mean, obviously, you still have your main job, but having Paranormalish where you can do long form interviews, has that been like a real pleasure for you?
Yeah, that's a big deal. I love it because it's something that's just, it's finally an outlet that I can sink my teeth into. Right. It's something I've always loved this, but I, you know, now I can take that and make it part of my job, so to speak, you know, and sitting there and doing, cause when you're doing radio, certainly a music format, I mean, I have a X amount of freedom, you know, to do, you know, to talk. And I mean, that's that they pay me to do that. But, you know, you still have, there's a time clock you're dealing with. If you're doing a morning TV show, there's still a time clock. I've done some stuff for the morning TV show here in LA, KTLA. And you have a little earpiece in and have the directors yelling this, or go to break or cut this, or don't do the clip. You know, it's just, so you're always dealing with that. With the podcast, it's just you, like right now we're saying whatever you want to say, you know, but I still have that mindset of when I'm doing my podcast, like, am I on topic? Am I straying too far? You know, is this going too long? I can always cut it later. You know, probably like Noah, who does the edits on this podcast? Noah, do that?
Noah. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Noah. Oh my God. I feel your pain. Cause, when you start, you know, we do a lot of interviews and you do a lot of podcasts, I assume it's as you're doing it, you realize I'm going to cut that out later. Like Noah's going to cut this piece out right now. It's just, you start thinking in terms of edits, and I can even at times I edit audio on a Vox Pro. That's what we use in the studio, just a quick editing system, but I can almost see what I'm going to, sometimes I don't even have to hear it. I can see it just with looking at the waves. You get so used to it,
sure.
So quick at it. Yeah. Let me ask a question. This happened the other day. I was doing this. I did this interview, with a girl named Kristen Lee, which you guys should get her on. This we're left turn back into the paranormal. There's a lady named Kristen Lee who has a book called Paranormal Confessions. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't live in the house anymore, but she still owns the house. And now they use it for research and whatnot into the paranormal. The house is called the Bel Air House. I called it Bel Air as in LA or Beverly Hills, but it's Bel Air and it's in Ohio. And this house is just, it is violently haunted. But I'm doing this interview with her. And it's on a couple of podcasts back. And I'm listening to it as I'm editing it, you know, editing this thing. And it happened twice. It sounded like this weird breath she took or like you see where I'm going, you know? And, and I didn't, I left it in, but I shortened sometimes I shorten some of the clips, you know, mm-hmm. Like some dramatic pauses are nice, but sometimes I'm like, you know, let's trim it down a little bit.
Right.
But I trimmed it down a little bit, but I left that breath in because I thought, well, you know, it sounded odd, but I'm not sure what it was, but I'll leave it in. And this guy hit me up about, you know, a couple of days after that posted, and he gave me the time codes, and I'm going to put a podcast. And maybe by the time this podcast, your podcast airs, maybe that podcast that I'm going to do will be up. Who knows? But he gave me the time codes. Says, Jojo, there's a voice. There's a disembodied voice, as he referred to it. And he gave me the two codes, and I haven't gone back and listened to it yet, but I think it's what he's talking about is the thing that I heard. So I'm going to get the original audio, and I don't think it's going to change what he heard, but maybe there's more to it. Cause I cut out part of that pause, but not all of it. Maybe I can take that entire, the master of it, elevate the volume on that, you know, raise that volume and see if there's anything, see what it says. And if there's anything he missed in my edit, but you guys have had that happen before too, right?
Yeah, it was
so many times.
Just to the point now where, like, I mean, Kat went back and listened to the last one we got, someone wrote in, but I don't even go back and check it anymore because it's almost, I would say every 5 episodes, somebody will DM us being like, you got to check, you know, the ghost is back or, you know, whatever. And early on, I mean, it's weird because I don't hear it really when I'm editing.
To your point, Noah, when you're editing, it's a lot. You know, and you have other things going on. So you're like, you're paying attention because you want your podcast to sound great. But at the same time, you have to get this thing done.
Yeah.
You know? So you're kind of fast, high speed editing, so to speak. So I can see how you might miss or kind of overlook, or I was like, let me just leave that in. I'll keep going, you know?
Sure. And like the three of us are more cohesive now. So there it's less editing too for me now. So I can kind of let stuff run a little more. So I may miss that voice that people talk about, but I mean, the early on ones, and there's a super clip. Actually, I think the last time we talked to you, I re-put some of that in our best of episode for 2020. And you can kind of hear that super clip of that sound. And the first time I went back and listened to it, it freaked me out so much. I threw, I had like some Bose headphones on, noise canceling headphones. I threw them onto the table and it gave me chills because I was just like, what the hell is that? And, you know, of course, we just thought, all right, it's Zoom. Like just gonna, whatever, it's Zoom, it's, you know, it could be anything. Then it happened a couple more times and it kind of got to the point where like, it's weird because the timing of it is happening when we talk about it, which yeah. That makes me think less likely that it's Zoom. But the kicker was that we did an episode and a fan brought it up, I believe. And JJ and Kat got this look on their face and they stopped like podcasting essentially and looked at each other. And I was like, what's going on? And they were like, we just heard the voice out loud in the room. And I was like, if that fucking voice is on the editing, when I go back, that's going to freak me out. And sure enough, I mean, that one was by far the freakiest. And it's always this whispery lady.
Okay.
And it sounded like it was like right between our faces. Yeah. Too. It was creepy. Weird.
And that was right after someone was like, oh yeah, a ghost lady lives in your room.
Yeah.
You can see her. Okay. So here's the most recent one. We had Stephanie Strange from BuzzFeed on.
Yeah. You should get her. She's great.
She good?
Awesome. Uh-huh.
What's the story? Well, go ahead. Do your thing. But I'm curious to tell me her story.
We have so many want to share with you. Okay. Here we go. So she said it's at 4414. So I'm going to play it.
I haven't heard this. So this will be my first time.
Sure enough, it was very, like, it wasn't the exact same cadence, but it was the same voice or very similar. And then we had a fan on.
I heard that right there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It's that, it's like a kind of thing.
Okay, there's one more coming up.
And she was talking about how crazy it was and whatnot. And then Kat and JJ heard the sound in their room. Like I could see them in their Zoom box and stop and look at each other. And I was like, what are they doing? And then they said, like, we heard it out loud.
Yeah.
It's just so quick. And it's like, we should slow them down.
Yeah.
And just see, I mean, that's super creepy. But
it's bizarre. Those, like, people are going to think that I'm just going, but I promise it's not me.
Someone in the comment was like, I thought that's what that was. I didn't know if Kat was making fun of JJ like she does or Noah.
I've got no pants on. Yeah.
That would be great.
Well. And yeah. JJ, you're the, you know, you are you, were you on the non, I forget what I, you, the non-believer meter?
I like to say I'm ghost agnostic now. I was full on ghost atheist when we started. And now I just like, you know, and that whisper thing was probably the closest to like a real encounter that.
Cause you were shook for a little bit when that happened.
Yeah. It was super weird. And I still can't say for certain that like, oh yeah, that was something paranormal. Maybe the noise was caused by something else.
But you experienced something.
But yeah, and it freaked me out. So.
And
yeah.
You being there and knowing that nobody else was there whispering that. I mean, you.
Right. And the fact that Kat also heard it. And I know, because like, I mean, we literally both at the exact same time just kind of went.
Yeah.
So creepy.
Which our listeners have no idea what I just did. But
I should go back and pull. It's like, the Scooby-Doo look. It's a zoinks.
Yeah, I should pull the video of that. I can pull that out and then zero in on y'all's box. I haven't even thought about that. That would be fun.
Hey, is the audio, Noah, on that? Is it. Separate channels, could you isolate that and take them out of it and see?
I could do that too. I could look at the channels and we could definitely pick it apart. That would be interesting to go back and see.
So in theory, that, because when I'm talking to this lady Kristen, I assume that the whatever that is, if it is, you know, let's say it's a ghost, if it's not, who knows, maybe like you said, Zoom, or it could be a number of things, but I assume it was on her end. You know, because maybe the ghost, because she's, you know, maybe something's attached to her. She wasn't in that house at the time, but, you know, I could see what, but I've never had that happen on my end because I'm in just I was recording that at the radio station. Mm. So I'm guessing it's on her end. That theory, this thing was next to JJ and Kat. So, yeah.
And we had a medium say, I mean, it all started when we had Amanda on, who Now she's like blown up and super famous. But back then she was just sweet little Amanda that had posted one ghost story on TikTok. But yeah, she was like, oh yeah, there's an old lady in a bathrobe in between you guys. She's been there the whole time. And I mean, it is weird. Like, you know, obviously we're all like more than interested in the paranormal. We all spend a lot of time doing this stuff. But there's something for me anyway, who, when we started this, I was probably like a 5 on the scale. And I mean, now I'm pretty close to a believer, but there's still things that I'm pretty skeptical about. But overall, I do tend to believe some things. But just to have another human look you in the Zoom box and be like, there's a ghost right there. and you not feel any lying from them. You know, there's no bad vibes or anything. And you're like, no matter what, this person really believes what they're telling me. And that is an unusual experience that I don't think a lot of people get in their normal life. And we get it all the time, not necessarily in that frame, but, you know, we have mediums on all the time that say things that if I just went up to a stranger on the street and told them that, they'd be like, well, you need medication. Like, what are you doing? But yeah, we hear stuff that's undeniable as far as, and it's not every medium in psychic, but we've had a couple on that have told us stuff that, like, one came on and was like, dude, was your uncle in the Navy and a boxer? And I was like, yes. Like, how the hell? He was like a Golden Glove boxer in the Navy. I don't know. So, I mean, that kind of stuff. And then we had another one on who her whole thing is like, she says there's a lot of fake mediums and psychics. So her whole thing is she kind of debunks some of that stuff. And then she's a medium and psychic. And she was so polished and real. I had chills during her whole, I was denying stuff that was true that she was asking me that. I was like, I'm not ready to talk about this in front of an audience of strangers, like, not going to do that. So that kind of stuff always pushes it forward for me. I'm just like, I love the idea that people have X-Men powers. Like, I want to believe that's real. And now, like, I would call her a good friend, to psychic mediums that are engaged. One of them's name is Evelyn, and like, we message each other all the time. She's co-hosted several episodes of the podcast, and we'll be talking sometimes and she'll just like go, and I'm like, what is she doing? And she's like, sorry, I got a reading. And I'm like, I forget that that's like how we even know each other, because you are attached to the paranormal. I mean, I don't know. It's just all kind of crazy.
I'd be curious on it, because I, like I said earlier, I would love to develop that sense or some version of it.
Yeah.
As long as there's an off switch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if it's always on, I just picture the movie The Sixth Sense, you know. Yep. Yeah, that was, I don't,
what,
I don't,
do you get
that.
Any of the deja vu or premonitions? Do you have any of that in your life, you think?
I think, you know what, I guess my next experiment's going to be my next attempt into that dream state, you know. Just going into a place and sleeping, and then my plan is to be monitored. I want somebody to monitor me, you know, with all the fun gadgets and whatnot and psychics and everything, and see if anything happens. I've tried melatonin just to sleep, nothing to do with the paranormal.
Dreams are so weird on melatonin. I take it all the time because my schedule flips so much that it's just,
I don't know if I'd want to do melatonin in a haunted property, because it's just a bit much. Because I feel like I have the exorcist in my head at times, depending on the dose of melatonin. It's just nuts. But I want to, there's another thing that came across, and I don't know if this is my, I mean, if I were giving you a list of my most, like, these are my best podcasts. I mean, this was the shortest podcast I've ever done. I think it was like 8 minutes. And he had a few more things, but I thought, let me just give it, this is what it is. I thought about tagging it with something else, like making the podcast longer, but I guess my podcast, you know, at times I'm just a story collector at times on some of the shows, or a lot of the shows.
Yeah.
I just love it. And he told me the story, and it was just a short story, but it's a guy that I know him, I don't know him well, but he used to work in LA, but he moved to Nashville. He bought this house. His son would never go down this one particular, they had the house for like almost a year. And his son would just, he's real young, like 2, I guess, give or take. Or maybe a little older, but he wouldn't go down this hallway. Like, something was creepy about the hallway. He got this creepy vibe from the hallway. Never saw anything, so it's not a super dramatic story. But just something was about this hallway. But it is what it is. He lived in the house, and they were just like, you know, just, you know, trying to make a house a home and putting things together and whatnot. And he's in the garage one day, and he finds these two big bags of sand. Oh my God, my son has a sandbox. Perfect. So he gets these two big bags of sand,
and he's going to go dump him in his son's, in the box. And he realizes, oh my God, he looks at these two big bags of sand and there's names and birth and death dates on this sand.
What?
It ain't sand.
It's ashes.
So, oh no.
Yes. So he finds out who it is, and it's the previous owner's mother and father-in-law.
Oh my gosh.
So he calls him up and says, I think you're a terrible son-in-law. He's just joking, of course, but he's, oh my gosh. So he comes over, he drives about an hour from where the other guy lived, picks it up, and the house they haven't had. His son is skipping down the hallway. No big deal.
Wow.
So once again, not a crazy story, but can you imagine finding or leaving ashes of your family?
That reminds me, we had a guest on who had a similar thing. She like her lights kept flickering and some poltergeist kind of stuff, like doors were kind of moving and stuff in her room. And the attic was above her room. It like wouldn't stop. And then something just told her that her grandmother's ashes were up there and that she wasn't happy being stuck in the attic. And they moved them from there and nothing else ever happened.
No kidding.
Everything resolved. You know, so that is a spooky thing. Okay, I have one last hokey question for you.
Okay,
but because you hear this sometimes from people that are, you know, in the entertainment industry and have had success. When you were younger and, you know, starting kind of your journey, did you ever have any moments where something told you, like, this is what I'm going to be doing, like, I'm going to make it in this industry? Or did you ever see yourself, like, you know, you hear people say like, oh, I put it out in the world, and then it, which isn't necessarily supernatural, but it's like some of that kind of thought process. Did you experience any of that, or was it just good hard work and dedication?
I'd like to think it was a lot of hard work and dedication, but I don't think I've ever said this on any sort of podcast form, but my mom would go to church when, you know, we were little, you know, and she still is, you know, she's a normal human being. She, you know, I guess my thoughts on the church are, I believe in God, but I often don't believe in people that claim they work for God, because there's a lot of nuts in Westboro Baptist Church. Get out of here. Wow. But that kind of stuff. But, you know, she believes in God, and I do too. And but she would take me to church. And sometimes I recall this lady, in church, she's making, like, I don't know what you call it, but like predictions or like premonitions or. And this lady in front of the church says, you're going to do things and speak to large groups of, I forget what she said, but like, I'm going to speak to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that can be anything, really. You can almost twist that to a lot of stuff. Cause, you know, anybody on TikTok, there you go. And she never said radio, I don't think. I mean, I wish I had that on tape, like, you know, old school cassette recording is probably somewhere, but that's one thing. But I think as far as everything else, I just put my mind to it and started. Sure. I think initially I would have loved to have, or I probably would have kind of ventured into the TV side of things a bit more, the reason I didn't, because, you know, growing up in Texas, there's, you know, Hollywood ain't down the street.
Right.
Yeah.
And B, maybe I'm a little too ugly. I don't know, but, one of those things. Nobody can be.
Oh, JoJo, JJ. You know, you're attractive. Get out of here.
Nobody's looking at that. Look at JJ's hair. Look at that. Yeah, I need that.
But they have ugly people on TV shows.
That's right, Kat. Thank you.
Kat,
thank
that's you. The worst thing to
say. That's right. Thank you, Kat.
You've got a face for podcasting.
No, but I think I just really, I kind of get a one-track mind, so to speak, and you kind of start going for it. And that's kind of what it was. And I got a little job at a little tiny radio station, started passing out demos, and now we're, you know, Kiss FM is a station I wanted to work at. That's one that, because I saw there was a radio DJ that I came across, just, and I forget how I came across him, but his name was Hollywood Hamilton, who now does afternoons in New York. He did the night show on Kiss. And that's what I did, you know, and I eventually got that same slot. After he went on to do some other things, I didn't follow him. I was a few guys after him, or a few people after him, but to do that same exact slot of this guy that I liked, it was pretty cool. He knows, you know, him and I talk from time to time. We're, you know, we've both been in the biz now for quite a while, but I think the guy, he's just a good dude, and he's really good at what he does. And I'd like to think I am too. Yeah. And he sent me, it kind of came full circle once, and he did.
I don't know if he realizes how much I really think the world of him, but he sent me a note after I signed one of the contracts at KISS. I've done so many because I've been here forever. I'm not sure if they can't get rid of me or I can't get rid of them. But he sent me a note. Hey, JoJo, congrats on the new deal. I'm like, all right, cool, thanks. Whatever it was, you know. But when he did that kind of full circle, like, my God, this is, I'm doing the shift, the slot, the station, the city, everything that I wanted to do. So I think there's something to manifesting it. And I think the mind's a powerful thing. I really do.
That's why, like, when any of our, because we have, you know, and I mean, we all have quote unquote day jobs and stuff, but we are in like the comedy scene in Atlanta. And last night we got to see a lot of our friends who are also kind of similar boats, varying degrees. I mean, we have some friends that are basically full-time actors now, but you know, everybody's kind of in a different space. But I would say we're the ones that people think about in our group when they think about podcasting. They're like, oh yeah, they've got that paranormal podcast that's they've had some success. And whenever anybody asks me about it, you know, it's funny how different people's minds work, but they'll be like, well, you guys have ads, you're making a lot of money off of ads. And I'm like, no, we haven't really gone down the ad route. I don't think we're quite at that point. I don't want to put our fans through that for a small amount of money. You know, like if we're going to do ads, I want it to make sense. And I always put out there the thing that I want, and I hope that Kat and JJ would want too, is that I want us to be able to tour the podcast, whether it's 5 times a year, 12 times a year, you know, whatever. I want to do these interviews, much like My Favorite Murder does, you know, live form in front of people, because I think this format really lends itself to that. I mean, it's a long form
that interview. Would be exciting.
Yeah. And that's, so that's what I keep putting out there. We'll see. I mean, pre-pandemic, my goal was kind of like by the end of this year. That's not going to happen, although we've been very fortunate this year, but I'm hoping by the end of next year, if we can maybe like double our base, you know, maybe we'll be to at least be able to travel and have the trip paid for, you know, and do a couple hundred people in a room or whatever. I mean, it would just be exciting because it is one of those formats where it lends itself to storytelling, and you get, you know, a lot of times we get like wow endings for the stories. And I think we could be funny enough to carry a room. So we'll see what happens.
That's one of the, I would love to do that too. Love it. It's so exciting because, you know, you're building this brand.
Yeah.
And it's something that you're super passionate about, and it's just so organic, and it doesn't seem like work. I know editing and scheduling and working this around all you guys' schedules is that's kind of work ish, but it's such a rush to create this thing from the ground up and to go on a tour. The my one fear on any gig I do is, you know, whether it's a radio station gig or an endorsement or is nobody's going to show up at the gig. You know, that's my one fear. Right. So yeah. I would probably, I guess if I were going to do a tour, which I would love to do that at some point, I would probably book small rooms and have like standing room only, as opposed to a big room and nobody showed up. That's the way I work around that. But I would love to do that too.
I've done comedy in front of 6 people, and I've done comedy in front of like 150 people. And it's much more fun to do the 150 side than the 6 people side.
Dude, I've talked to some artists about, usually when I'm doing an interview with somebody, they, you know, especially the established ones, they're doing some fairly good sized rooms. But I always bring up from time to time, like, give me your worst, like, give me what's the worst, or have you ever been booed? You know, and I've heard some, like, do you know the band AJR? I think we've talked with them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They said their first, I don't know if it was their first show, but like way early on, they did a show once and they were expecting, I don't know how big the room was. I forget what they said, but let's just assume it was like a couple hundred people at least. And they had 6 people. I mean, literally six. They met them all, took pics, you know, and I guess their mentality was, and their dad was pumping them up, like, just do it. Like, there's a room full of crazy people.
Yeah.
I think the artist, I think it was, do you know the rapper, Sweetie? She has a song with Doja Cat. She's my best friend.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
She did a show, I want to say it was in New Orleans. This is, you know, I don't know how recent it was, but the show eventually got shut off because there was a storm, but you know, it's something to do with the weather. I forget the story, but she shows up and there's like only like just a handful. There's a stadium, like there's gonna be like 20,000 people, and like, you know, 9 people are, you know, I'm making a number up. But she was there early, and she thought, well, the artist that came before me, they didn't show up because they got held up for weather. They said, do you want to go on and just get your set? And somehow she ended up performing. But she said she
she threw down like there was a stadium full of people, but there was like, and it's one thing to perform in front of six people, but when the stadium is 20,000 and you get six, you know, you get more stagehands than crowd.
It's that's just funny. Awful. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's good to know that people who've like gotten that big all went through that and that that's still fresh in their memories.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a little, like, I don't know.
Humbling way to but, humble.
Yeah. It makes you see them as fellow humans instead of just.
Yeah. It's stuff, so. And the little things that go wrong, like, this is, you probably won't know his name. He has one song called, his name is Duncan Lawrence. He's from the Netherlands, I think. Real good guy. But he had a song that, I'm spacing. Oh my God. My brain's jumbled, but Duncan Lawrence, he had a paranormal story too. He grew up in a haunted house, but I was asking him one story about, you know, things that went wrong on stage, his worst show. And he said he fell off stage once and the microphone shoved in his mouth.
Oh my God.
So he's like singing, you know, so the audience hears him yank the mic out of his mouth and then it's just awful.
That's crazy.
Just nuts.
So I'm curious, as your podcast moves forward and you get more opportunities to do things with the paranormal, are there still some bucket list items that you want to try to knock out for your podcast, for your fans?
100%. I mean, with paranormal, I would love to be able to do, just like you said, you know, I guess I didn't put it in those terms in my head, but take a tour or just a live show somewhere and to be able to run around with that. And I get a rush when people say, "Hey Jojo, I'm a fan of the podcast." When people say that, because usually, I mean, I do people, you know, I have a decent following on social, but I do get a lot of followers from other fan bases. Mm-hmm. So in reality, I mean, which I love them and I hope they like me, but they're there really for me to post something about BTS. You know, right. So they like me. They love BTS. When somebody loves the podcast, to me, it's like they love what I do. You know, or granted, they love the ghost stories and whatnot. But it's that, you know, that's that common thing. We all love the paranormal. So when somebody says they love the podcast, I get it. Just really charges me. So to take it on tour would be phenomenal. I would love to have some successful merch attached to it. That'd be cool. Which we're toying with some ideas here and there, but the keyword being successful merch, can that, you know, happen? And of course I want the main thing is I want to tie it to a TV show. Now, TV show can mean anything from Discovery Plus to Travel Channel to a successful, you know, online outlet, you know, and I've had several people reach out to me and we've shot sizzles and everything, but it's somehow I can't, you know, I guess somehow the TV world, and even though Kat says ugly people can make it on TV, my ugly face hasn't made it on yet, you know, I know you're joking with that. I know I'm super gorgeous, but
you're so gorgeous.
Right. My wife would hear this, but I'm looking for the right TV outlet to do this. And I say right, meaning I want them to want me as much as I want them. Yeah. And
Well, Jojo, before we get you out of here, because you've been so gracious with your time, we have been kind of running a series through Halloween with episodes where we've been asking people about Halloween. And one of the questions we've been asking that has been very controversial, where do you fall on candy corn?
Ugh. Oh, sorry. I'll tell you how.
Well, I can tell already, Kat, that I am going to agree with it. It just serves no purpose. It is it's just wax. Kind of like the old school, remember way back in the day, you know, and I'm going to show my age a bit, but they used to have the vampire teeth that you could put in your mouth, but you could chew them, kind of a waxy thing.
Okay. But those are actually like wax candy corn. I'm going to go on the other side. It's so delicious. And when I saw Kat and JJ last night, I brought one bag because I knew neither of them would accept it. I saw JJ first. I was like, "Hey," and he tried to hug me and I like threw the bag at him. He was like, "Gross." And just like moved away. And Kat basically did the same thing. I was like, "I don't get it. I love it."
What is the flavor? Is it maple or is it what?
Sugar? It just tastes like pure sugar. I mean, eat it, snort it, whatever you want to do. I mean, it's just baseline sugar. And I love it. I mean, I do feel sick after eating so much of it, but
yeah,
so good. It does not melt well. Don't ever try to melt it in a dessert. That doesn't work.
I think it's good for like a garnish, for like if you want to decorate something that looks like teeth. Like teeth, I need pumpkin teeth. Well, you jam a couple of candy corns up in there, and there you got some teeth.
Because you're not going to eat it after.
Yeah, you're not going to eat it.
For decoration, that's great.
You know what's good though? I had an espresso. I love espresso martini. Ooh, that's my. I should pass those out for Halloween. Little kids show up.
Those have gotten really popular too. I keep seeing things about them online. So the other thing we've been asking. Are there certain go-to movies that you go to? Do you go old school? You get into the 80s for Halloween? Or like, what would you recommend the audience if they want to get in the spooky spirit?
Oh, man. I did a horror movie episode on Paranormalish a couple of, like the very beginning of October. And I think that's, you know what? I wonder if you guys would consider this. I think I found that horror movie base and fandom kind of mixes with what we do. And that's one of the reasons why I called Paranormalish, because paranormal being what it is ish, it's sort of in the world. That's why I had a director, the Zack Snyder came on, you know, it's not paranormal, but it's that fandom, you know, sci-fi horror. So every now and then I'm going to veer off the roads and do some horror. You know, well, quite a few times I plan to do some sort of horror movie based stuff. My favorite I've taken this way too serious, but I've done a list of my top movies, you know, horror movies. And I don't phrase it as the scariest, because inevitably you put this is the scariest movie and everybody's like, that's not scary. Well, it depends on how you watch a movie. If you're watching it with your phone in one hand, the lights on, you're texting, that's not how you watch them. Yeah. If you have to be, you know, immersed in it, you know,
and different things scare. Like for me, the scariest movie is About Time, because I have issues with death and, you know, didn't have an awesome relationship with my dad. Now we're great, but you know, it brings up all those things. And when I see it, I'm like, nah, that's too scary. I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah.
Again.
There's certain things like, so I guess my top three scary movies, and they're all old school.
Lamageddon.
Not Lamageddon is like number eight, I think. Number three is the original Halloween. I love Michael Myers. He's probably my favorite movie character, you know, and all these horror movie things, you know, you can see the Michael Myers face behind me right there.
JoJo is the real deal for anybody that's listening. JoJo is really into all of this.
I love it. I went to the Pop Funko store and I buy everything horror movie related. Okay. Halloween number three. And I do love most, if not all of the spinoffs and the, you know, all that stuff. Halloween number three, original. Number two, which this one has flip-flopped at number one over. This is the one that gets me. Number two, The Exorcist. That movie, I mean, as a kid, and usually any movie that really sticks in your head hits you as a kid. The Exorcist ruined me as a kid. My mom had the VHS tape back in the day, and I got it and wasn't supposed to watch it, and I couldn't tell her why I had to sleep with them, you know, for a month. But The Exorcist, and then number one, number one is The Shining. It is just a classic. And I got a chance to stay at the Stanley in Estes Park, Colorado.
Cool.
And I think that's why I flip-flopped it to number one, because just the personal tie there.
And it's a pretty perfect movie. Like that's just a solid movie too.
It's phenomenal. And the little twins just scared the bejesus out of me as a kid, just ruined me too. And to walk around the Stanley Hotel, granted, that's not where they filmed it at, but it's where Stephen King had his encounter.
Right.
It's just crazy. I've seen a couple of new movies this year. I finally watched the movie Trick or Treat. I'd never seen that before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really good. It's a couple of movies I want to see. I still haven't seen, I won't get into all those, but,
Have you seen It Follows?
Nothing to do with the It franchise, right?
No. It's in my opinion, like it's one of my favorite movies just in general, but it just happens to be a horror movie. But it's the basis is like you have sex with somebody and you get essentially this demon that attaches that's going to kill you. But you can, if you keep having sex with people and you have the demon, it keeps passing along and it has to work its way back to you. So it's like, if I have sex with five people, it's going to start on that fifth person, kill them, and work its way back down to kill me.
So is the goal to keep having sex so it stays away from you, or are you trying to get it back to you?
No, you don't want it. It'll kill you. And like it takes over the form of like other people, like kind of like some creepy stuff we heard on our podcast where like you see somebody and you think it's a real person, but it's really like a spirit or something imitating them. And then it like just jacks people up, but it's really cool. It does it. It, so it takes that horror theme, but films in an almost like a Spielberg way where it's like, kids have to save the world. So there's like a girl that's like 18, 19. So she's the one that has sex and gets a demon, but then it's like her brother and their friends are the ones that have to help her beat the demon. So it's like, and it's got all this 80s synthesized music.
She doesn't
like,
have to hook up with her brother.
No, none of like creepy weird stuff. I mean, it's like the writing is
spreading purity rings to everyone.
Like it's like a 98%, I think, on Rotten Tomato. Like it's a phenomenal movie. So I highly recommend that for anybody that hasn't seen it. Yeah.
I may have seen the title, but I didn't know anything about it.
It was on Netflix for a while. I'm not sure if it's still there. And the other thing I would recommend is the movie Host that came out during the pandemic. And it's shot in Zoom, and it is fucking scary. Also has like a 95% Rotten Tomato, but the director blew up. We had him. He was going to come on our, like, I've learned that if I want to get people like that on the podcast, I have to jump on them real quick, like, you know, like because like we don't have enough clout to pull people necessarily after they're like huge. So I'm like, if I see something on Netflix I like and it's just like just getting traction, he was like, yeah, I'll be on next week. No one checked his Instagram next week. He had his blue check mark, like 40,000. He's like, man, I'm super busy and I'm in the UK. I'm like, it's cool. We enjoyed it. Good luck with everything. But yeah, that's a great, great movie too. It's like one of those like things where they do a seance and one person is making a joke of it. And then you see all the horror happen in the Zoom windows as the story unfolds. And it's just brilliant the way it's
talk about a way to take advantage of your unfortunate circumstance of the pandemic to make that a plus, you know.
Crazy. That's why he was like, we were trying to figure out what to do, and so we just shot the whole thing in Zoom. And I was like, man, that is really impressive. But yeah, those would be my recommendations. Well, JoJo, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody who's listening, make sure you check out Paranormalish and everything else JoJo has going on Kiss FM and iHeartRadio. We so appreciate this. It's always such a treat to get to talk to you and interact. And I know that we'll all be getting together again to talk. We would love for you to do our outro with us if you're up for it.
First of all, thank you guys for having me on. And I would love to do this more. Just keep hitting me up, man. We finally exchanged numbers. We were going back and forth on DM and you know that I'm a little delayed on that, as most people, I guess you may, who everybody is, but hey JoJo, can you do XYZ? And I'll see the thing like a week later. I'm like, I thought you had my number anyway, but yeah, hit me up whenever. I love jumping on with you guys.
With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
I'm JoJo Wright.
Yeah.
I thought for a second you guys were just pulling my leg and I was going to be the only one doing it.
That'd be kind of funny, actually.